Morning. All right, not morning, evening.
That's old habit, ain't it? Old habit. I'm all out of whack, ain't I? Man ate a piece of Lisa's peanut butter pie, and he done lost his mind. It was that good. It was that good. But anyway, I want to welcome each of you. Thank you guys for coming being out with us this evening. It's that time of year. Things busy. Ball and this, that, and other started back, but good-looking bunch here tonight. Even Herbie looks good. But tonight, what we're going to talk about is the last night of this, talking about, which it's prophecy, plain and simple, is what we're going to talk about. What Jesus has left to do, what he has left to accomplish, you know, unfinished business, in other words. But before we do, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. So has anybody got a spoken prayer request? Brother Joe? Children that are lost, and the Lord's opened a few doors. I don't want to mention their names. People that don't know the Lord. Over the last week, I've got a great opportunity, Pat, to witness to them, and I thank God for that rule. I truly believe that when God does that, when he lines that up like that, obviously, you know, you just share the Lord, and the seeds are planted, and God's going to add the increase. So, but I ask that you remember those prayer requests, because they need the Lord, and God is obviously reaching out to us. Anybody else? Bubba? We'll get started here tonight. I'm really going to lean on some good questions, some good discussion, interaction, okay? I told day before we got started. Been pretty busy this week doing a lot of stuff, this being one of them, but been pretty busy this week. Praise God, everything's working out good, nothing bad. But as we kind of wind this down, you know, we've talked about the, you know, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and obviously to the cross and the types and shadows in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb and all those things that pointed to Jesus. And we were blessed this past Easter Sunday to have a really great service, a great crowd. A lot of people got to hear the gospel preached. I truly believe seeds were sown. But how many of you know that Jesus still has some stuff to do? There's still prophecy out there that's got to be fulfilled. And Jesus is the one that's going to do it. He's the only one that can do it. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. As we get started, I want to share a discussion I had years ago as I was preparing. It's kind of come on my mind to kind of maybe head us down this path a little bit. But I remember one time, it's been a good while ago, several years ago, that I was speaking with a brother in the Lord. And we wasn't to church or nothing like that. We were just out and about and happened to run into each other. And just, you ever had, you know, maybe life wasn't as busy then. I don't know what it was. But you know how people used to just pass the time of day. You know what I mean? That's what we were doing. And he's a brother in the Lord. I think very highly of him. Love him to death. Till this day I do. And good man of God. But as we were talking, I didn't know this at the time, unbeknownst to me, what his belief was different than mine. And that being said, it ain't no big deal. I don't, you know, ain't everybody going to agree on every single thing of Scripture. That's not what I want to focus on tonight. But as we were talking, we weren't even talking about prophecy at all, Joe, at none. We just talked about the goodness of God and things like that. But as we were talking, I remember saying this right here, and when I said that, that's when it all kind of started to go in that direction. And I remember saying, Pat, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. Okay? And the Bible says that in several places. That being said, I said it and then just kept on talking. And we talked for about 5 minutes longer. And then he spoke up and he said, okay, let me ask you a question. Okay? He said, what do you mean he's going to rule with a rod of iron? I said, well, in such and such and such and such, it says that he'll rule with a rod of iron. That's what the Bible says. He said, well, what are you saying? I said, well, let me ask you this. When he came the first time, did he rule the planet? Was he a king? No. He came and died as a lamb. So there's a prophecy that says that he will rule with a rod of iron, so it's yet to come. Because it hasn't been fulfilled. And we know it's in the Bible. Something has to be fulfilled, right? Okay. And the fact that he's having to rule with a rod of iron means, yes, authority. But it also means not everybody's kind of hunky-dory with it. Make sense? If he was just, we were just talking about the kingdom of heaven, and we're all up in heaven, and you know, at the very end, and if you will, why would he need a rod of iron? We're all followers. We're going to follow him anyway. He's our king and he's our savior now. You know what I mean? Just like in the book of Revelation, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's judgment to be executed. So I brought that up, and he said, man, he said, we don't really, where I go to church at, we don't really talk about that. And to this day, I don't know if he believed it or believes it or if it changed anything. I didn't intend it to change nothing, to be honest with you. But I shared it. And it became obvious then to me, after talking to him, well, you know, if he feels that way, I'm sure there's other people who feels like he does. So, you know, and so then that's what we're here today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that Jesus has yet to fulfill. And that's what we're going to talk about. Is it future? Absolutely it's future. But to get to what I'm talking about first, then we'll kind of get into it a little bit. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, it says, she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was called up to God and to his throne. Okay, there's one. Revelation 19 and 15 says, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, speaking of Jesus, with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. So in other words, there's the scripture that Jesus will one day rule with a rod of iron. Okay? And so as I was sharing with my brother in the Lord, who I still think highly and love to pieces, it's in the Bible. It wasn't something that you just pulled out of thin air and, you know, just throwing on air. And it's not one of those things, to me at least, it's not one of those things that's really up for debate. It's pretty plain that he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Now, we can have talks about when that's going to be and all those things, but I don't know about you guys, but I ain't seen him do that yet, Bobby. So, you know, that means it's something that's coming. So Jesus is the only one who can do these things. In 1 Corinthians 15, for three verses, verses 25 through 27, it also says, "For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his foot. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him." So in other words, it's telling what God has given to Jesus. Okay? All things will be put under his feet. One day he will rule with a rod of iron. Why? Because he gave the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary. The Bible says because he'd done that, God gave him a name that's above every name. Amen? That at the name of Jesus, one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. So whether we accept him now or you don't accept him, one of these days, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's a Napoleon Bonaparte, whether it's Donald Trump, or whether it's a music teacher in Manhattan, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's why it's better to do it now. In other words, you know, you accept Jesus as Lord now, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got no problem with that. You're doing that now, okay? We definitely ain't going to have no problems doing it when the time comes. But so that's what we're going to kind of talk about tonight. But my first thing is this. Before we get to that point, we got to start with today, where we're at. Okay? So what is next on the prophetic calendar? What is next? What is Jesus doing right now? As we're sitting in Mallory Church of God this evening, talking about this, what is Jesus currently doing according to Scripture? What's he currently doing? What did Stephen see him doing? So Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, right hand of the Father, making intercession for the sins of the people. My little boy Jake, who is now 27 years old, little boy, but when he was a little boy, we went to Sunday school one time, and Patty Robertson was his Sunday school teacher, and she came and told me and Tara a little story that little, probably 3-year-old Jake had told her and the class in Sunday school. Now, obviously, we know that children pick up on things, right? Whether it's good or bad habits. If daddy talks in bad words, they'll talk in bad words. If you pour Jesus into them, they'll talk about Jesus. You know what I mean? That's just fact. But that being said, so I know that's where Jake heard it from. And I'm not taking credit for it, but I thank God for this. And Patty was really basically just trying to get the kids to understand Jesus is in heaven. You know, they can't see Jesus. Where is Jesus? You're telling me he's in my heart. Okay, he's in my... But where's he at? He's in heaven. Jesus in heaven. That's really what she was trying to get the kids to understand the concept. And her question to the class is, class, I want to ask each of you, where is Jesus at right now? And just wanting one of them to say, Jesus in heaven. Or Jesus in my heart. Whatever. Little Jake, 3-year-old Jake, says, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for the sins of the people. Little 3-year-old Jake says that. And Patty tells us about it, you know. And it was a proud dad moment, it was. But I bring that up because even a 3-year-old could believe it. Amen? So that's where Jesus is currently, right now, as we speak. It's exactly what Stephen saw as he's getting ready to be stoned. He's at the right hand of God, which signifies power and authority. Okay, but he's making intercession because the book of Hebrews says that. I think it's chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews says that, which means he's our high priest. Amen. So, and Hebrews tells us that as well. So Jesus is right now in a priestly capacity. Okay? That's what he's doing right now. So when you read the book of Revelation, chapter 1, if you really want to know what chapter 1 of the book of Revelation is, that's how John sees him when he comes to him in the Isle of Patmos. He has the golden girdle about his paps. His eyes are a flame of fire and wool hair. And he's in his priestly garments. That's what he's doing. And why would John see him that way first? Because that's where he's at right now. And he's going to be that way until what? What is going to end that capacity? There you go. What is going to happen next on the prophetic calendar? Right? Hey, I understand. Absolutely. I understand. I get what you're saying. Yep. So what is next on the prophetic calendar is the rapture. Rapture of the church. So can anybody other than Jesus do that? Nobody. Unfinished business. There's still prophecy to be fulfilled. There just is. So that's what we're here to talk about tonight. So the next thing on God's prophetic calendar, and I believe most people believe that, and probably everybody here in this building does at least tonight, is the rapture of the church. And what is going to happen at that moment? What's it going to be like? Share your thoughts, Brother Joe. Right. But what is the actual rapture moment? Have you ever thought about that? Right? Yep, absolutely. Look, the scripture says that in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, literally, at the last trump, boom. Yep, changeover. Exactly. And the Bible says in the book of Thessalonians, those that had died in Christ, that he will bring with him. That's what it says, doesn't it? Then there'll be a change. So in other words, and I've always thought about things like this. You guys remember years ago, I remember I was a kid, remember when they was having to excavate over here at Mann High School because they found Indian bones, a burial ground and stuff of that nature? I remember that being years ago. That was a big deal period, but as a kid, that was a real big deal. You know, and here you'd walk up and be able to look down there and see, you know, they was down there with them brushes and doing that. But, you know, as I got older, I think of it in a different way. How many bodies are buried on this planet? From Adam to now, how many different wars that took place with Vikings or the Crusades, or just all through history, the wars. I think there was, in World War II, there was 27 million Russians that died in World War II, talking about civilians and everything else. It exacted a terrible toll on the Russian people. But God knows where every single one of those bodies are. I believe that. So when the time comes, those that died in Christ, somehow, I don't pretend to tell you that I'm going to just say this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen, but somehow, Brother Joe, they're going to be raised. And they're going to be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. And I believe it was Brother Chelsea that talked about it here at the community service, how he said, one of the preachers talked about how we've got a 6-foot head start. You know, so that's why they get to go first or whatever. One of them brought that up. Now, I've always liked that. But that happens first, then we which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment. So we'll go up together, in other words. So the rapture is not going to happen in stages, just like that, right? And that's the good thing about it. So can anybody else come back for his bride, for Jesus Christ? Nobody. So there definitely is some unfinished business. What then? What else? Can anybody else do certain things? Is anybody else able to open the seals and to look thereon? Nobody. Bible made that plain, didn't it? No one else. Bible said that they looked for everywhere. In heaven, on earth, under the earth. And no one was found worthy. And the Bible said, John said he began to weep. Because no one was found worthy to open and loosen the seals and look thereon. So in other words, only Jesus can do that. Has it been done yet? So he's got some unfinished business to do, doesn't he? He's still alive. Jesus is alive, folks. We just got out of Easter, and oftentimes we kind of forget that his job is not done yet. Yes, he is in heaven, like Patty was trying to teach those children. That's where he's at right now. But he's coming back. Okay, everything that we see here today is going to be gone. Nothing is going to be here. This church building will not be here. The temple of God does not live in this church building. It's dedicated to the Lord. We ought to honor it, all those things. But at the rapture, this building is still going to be here. But each one, these temples, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. Every single person that has their names in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to be changed in that moment. And the world from that point on is going to forever be altered. Forever be altered. Nobody's going to be, there's going to be nobody caring about ball games. Let's just say it. I'm just the truth. I've walked that walk. I've been there. I've had kids. Nobody going to give a hoot that the umpire missed a call. Nobody going to care about that. It ain't going to mean nothing. Nobody's going to care. None of it's going to be up to that. No. Absolutely. 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 But it's going to be changed. When he comes back, it's going to be changed. That being said, when he comes back at the rapture, I'm asking you guys, trying to get some discussion going here. Will every eye see him when he comes back at the rapture? At the rapture? Is that so? At the rapture? At the rapture. Bernard? That's going to happen fast. You know what I mean? It's going to happen pretty fast. I don't think he's going to linger at the rapture. You know what I mean? I want to tell you something. As we're talking about it, I'm going to tell you there's a scripture that I've always kind of, Bernard, kind of looked at a little bit as rapture-oriented a little bit, okay, if you will. You can call it a stretch. That's fine. But when I'd read this, I'd always think of the rapture and about what Bernard said. Is along the lines of this, Jesus is at a point, and he prays a prayer. Father, glorify thy name. So it says, I've glorified it before and I'll glorify it again. The voice from heaven comes. And the Bible says some thought it thundered. Some thought an angel spoke. You get what I'm saying? And as one of these days I may preach that sermon, I'm probably spoiling it. But as close as you was to God is about what you heard, in other words. Okay? To some people, if you're a sinner, just thunder. Maybe if you had a relationship, maybe if you had once had a relationship with God, but you'd left him, it sounded like an angel. But if you really walked with God, you knew it was the voice of the Father. Okay? So I've always looked at that scripture and thought of the rapture in kind of the way Bernard was saying. I think everybody whose name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life, we're watching and waiting. Our ear is going to be tuned to that trumpet. Whether we don't know what it sounds like or not, there's something in our spirit. When it sounds, we're going to catch it. And I don't believe those that are of the Lord are going to have a clue about what's going on. I do not think they'll have a clue. Brother Joe? Uh-huh. Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. Right. I have to look that up. I never thought of it, to be honest with you. I have to look that up in Ezekiel. I've not thought about that before. That's good. That's good. And basically that trump of God is at the Feast of Trumpets in the nation of Israel. The Jews would have known what that meant. At the very end, the very last trump is what that was spoken of, and I used to know how to say that word, but I don't know how to say it no more. I'm not going to massacre it being online for all people to hear me try to massacre a Jewish word. But there is a specific sound that the last trump makes. And when it sounds at the Feast of Trumpets, they know it's over. They know that the feast is over. The celebration is over. It's over. The holiday's over, so to speak. It's a distinct sound that everybody knows. So when Paul is talking about the last trump, those Jewish believers that have been converted to Jesus, they know what he's talking about. There's coming. There's going to be a sound when it happens. I'm going to know. It's hard to tell what happens on the earth. I mean, that's a good discussion right there in itself, Joe. I'll say this much. This is just Teddy Dean here, okay, what you just talked about. It seems to me like there's been an awful lot of talk going on about space aliens lately, UFOs and stuff like it. It's hard to tell what the government tries to say to try to explain it away. I don't know. You know what I mean? Because I think they're going to somehow have to try to bring order back to things. You know what I mean? Because before, when you're talking about the millions of people going missing simultaneously, you're talking about absolute chaos on this planet. It's going to be unreal. Economies will crash. That's what's going to happen. Money will freeze. If something happens, and, you know, heaven forbid, Brother Joe and Sister Lisa's taken out of here, whatever's in their bank account, it's froze. Ain't nobody's name on it but Joe and Lisa. Ain't nobody can touch that. And ain't nobody can touch it. Even if Joe's got a son here that wants to get it. He's got to go through the courts now. Your name ain't on the account, buddy. We're going to have to, well, it is in case something happens to him. In case dad dies, I mean, but yeah, okay, but where's the death certificate? Where's it at? It could take up 7, 8, 9 months to get somebody declared dead. And that's going to happen millions of times over. So that money's froze. Not counting Joe's business, whatever happens with that, but still, those type of things is just going to be going all over the planet. Okay? So it's things like that that's going to happen. So how they try to explain it away, I don't know. But I think they're going to try to come up with something. You know what I mean? Because I don't think that they're going to want to just come and say, well, the rapture's happening, and we're all really just going to hell in a handbasket after this. But I don't think that's going to be the news of the day. You know, that's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to try to spin it. Has the government ever tried to spin anything for your benefit? I don't recall it. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, maybe I'm a little sinister about the government. You know what I mean? But ever since they tried to tell me that JFK was shot by one man as a kid, I've had a hard time, Bernard, really trusting everything the government tells me. That being said, what it's going to look like after that, I don't know. I don't think any of us really know. But it ain't going to be good. We can absolutely say that. That being said, can anybody else do those things but Jesus? No, nobody. What's going to happen after that on this planet? What's going to happen? Hell is being unleashed on this planet. God in his grace and his wisdom, you got the two witnesses and the 144,000, all those things. But while those things are going on, we're going to be in heaven. Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5 and stuff of that nature, when he's opening the seals, he's also revealed as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Bible says the elders take their crowns, Vicky, and they cast it before the Lamb. Can anybody else do that but Jesus? Nobody. It's unfinished business. There's still things that Jesus has to do according to Scripture. So he's not done yet. Okay? There's going to be a day that we're going to cast our crowns before him. Because he alone is worthy. There's going to be a big worship service that takes place right after the rapture. I believe that. We're going to be in the temple of God. I believe there's going to be a big old worship service. And just like the old time singing, the old time songs and stuff like that, you know, there's going to be a song that only the redeemed can sing. The redeemed of the Lord. You know, the angels will have to step back because they can't sing that song because they wasn't redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know what I mean? Can anybody do that but Jesus? Nobody can do that but Jesus. There's still unfinished business. Then I think of other things like what's going to happen at that. There's going to be a big old marriage supper that takes place. Can anybody be the head of the marriage supper other than Jesus? Can't happen. I make a kid all the time. My wife will fix something real good. Tara just blows me off. Anytime she cooks something, and I take a bite of it, Tommy, You know, she cook it on Tuesday, I'll say it. If she cooks on Wednesday, I'll say it again. She says, oh, shut up, Ted. But I'll taste something, I'll say, you know what? I believe that's the best thing you've ever made. I tell her that. Anytime she cooks something, I'll say, well, I'm telling you right now, it's the best biscuits, Terry, you've ever made. You said it the last time, Ted. I know these are better. If she made them 2 days later, I'd tell her the same thing. Now, I've told her about certain things. I said, I'm telling you, your buttermilk biscuits are going to be at the marriage supper Wednesday. I'm telling you, your buttermilk biscuits and your banana pudding, they're going to be there. You know, we joke in that way, but there is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And nobody can do it but Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? He still has unfinished business. He's not just... Yes, he went to the cross and died for our sins. And yes, he went and preached to the souls in prison. And yes, he rose from the grave. Yes, he walked the earth for 40 days doing miracles. And the Bible said he'd done so many miracles that all the books of the world couldn't contain them, Vicki. And so we have enough that lets us believe. It's hard to tell what kind of miracles he done, Joe. How many people was affected by his ministry? We'll never know until we get there. I believe one day we'll get there. We'll understand those things. But still, Jesus is all of that, but yet he's still more to come. He's Alpha, the start, and Omega, the end, and everything in between. You see what I'm saying? So he's not just done his job, and now he's just sitting down, taking it easy in retirement. He's still got things to do. Everything still revolves around him. You know what I mean? So Jesus has unfinished business. From the cross to the grave and beyond, Jesus is the reason only Jesus could do these things. But then there's a time that comes in the book of Revelation chapter 19 that it says this. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who are we speaking of? Could anybody else be that Pat other than Jesus? Not even possible. Not even possible. I saw heaven open, and he's on what? Vic, is he on a donkey this time? Is he on a colt? Came in on a camel. But now all of a sudden he's on a white horse. He's a conquering king. Okay? There's nobody that's worthy to do it, as John says in the book of Revelation. And so there's nobody else that can come back on the white horse but the same one. Amen? And we're talking about Jesus. It all goes back to Jesus. How many of you know that we know through John's gospel, before he was Emmanuel, before he was Jesus, Yeshua, he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God. All those things, right? Absolutely. But what's he come back as? He's called the Word. So now, he's full transformation. You see what I'm saying? He's coming back as the Word. King of kings and Lord of lords. So what's that tell me? That tells me that not everybody on this planet, when he comes back on that day, is going to be glad to meet him. They're not. He's King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Until he puts all enemies under his feet, that we read. You see what I'm saying? That's what the Bible's talking about. So in other words, to rule with a rod of iron means he's going to have to put all authority down. So we talked about the rapture being the next thing, okay? But not everybody will see the rapture, as Bernard pointed out. Not everybody may hear the sound of the trumpet. But everybody is going to see this. The Bible speaks of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the Bible says regarding them, they are destroyed with the brightness of his coming. Okay? Jesus, even in Matthew chapter 24, says they're going to say that lo, Christ is here and lo, Christ is there. Believe it not, I've told you these things. As the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So in other words, when I come back that second time, everybody's going to see me. And I think Brother Joe's pointed this out before when we've talked about this. I believe that CNN and Fox and MSNBC and BBC and Al Jazeera and all them different news agencies are going to be gathered together on that day near Megiddo as God gathers them together at Armageddon. And I believe they're going to be reporting, doing their thing, what all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, it's going to change. As he appears, the sun that we know, S-U-N, the light of the S-U-N is going to come close to the light of the S-O-N. In other words, it's going to be way brighter than the sun. I actually believe those that are on the earth, it's going to be so bright that they're going to. I absolutely believe that. I believe that's what's going to happen. I truly believe that, dude. They're not even going to be able to look upon him initially. And he's not coming back to bring party favors. He's just not. At that point, time has run out on mankind. Time has run out. Enough is enough, if you will. What's going to bring this on? Could anybody do this but Jesus? Nobody. He still has unfinished business. Could anybody be King of Kings and Lord of Lords but Jesus? He still got unfinished business. Could anybody else be the Word, Pat? There's only one, and that's Jesus. Amen? Could anybody else have his vesture dipped in blood? That's Jesus. He gave his blood for us, folks. That's why we're here tonight. But he's still got work to do. He's still calling the lost. He's still drawing the lost. He's still saving souls, Vicky. The mercy door is open. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. But a day's coming when mercy is going to close. And it's going to be, what side of the fence are you on? Are you with the Lord or are you not with the Lord? Brother, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that, first of all. Okay, because there's going to be something that happens after he comes back and he does that. The prophet even talks about there's coming a time, I believe, Bernard, ain't it, that their eyes melt in their sockets and stuff of that nature. So in other words, it's going to be a bad day. The blood is going to go to the horse's bridle. Okay? All those things. Okay? And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, he's going to judge the sheep and the goats. He's going to come down and sit down and judge the sheep and the goats. Can anybody else do that but Jesus? Nope, because all judgment has been given to him. Amen? So he's going to come down at that time and he's going to sit and judge the sheep and the goats and the goat nations as well. Those that were contrary to the nation of Israel, that's a goat. Those that took the mark, still on the earth that day, that's a goat. And there's going to be a great separation. The wheat and the chaff, separation coming. Jesus said, don't tear it up. I'll do it. I'll do it. I know where it's at. Okay? There's an interesting thing about the wheat and the tares, by the way. You know, when the wheat and the tares are growing up, they look identical. It's very hard to determine which one is a wheat, which one is a tare. Okay? But you know one way you can tell? One way the farmer knows? When the wind blows, the wheat bows. And the tares don't. So they grow together, and Jesus said, don't tear them up, you'll mess it all up. When I come back, I'll do it. Because I know who's really mine and who really ain't. And he's going to set and judge the sheep and the goats on that day. Can anybody else do that but Jesus? Jesus knows the heart of man. You see what I'm saying? We can say he's our Lord, but is he really your Lord? We can say that. See, I truly believe that that's one of the biggest issues going on right now, Pat, is everybody wants a Savior, but not everybody wants a Lord. There's a thing that don't sound good in our modern society that believes we all should just say kumbaya and everybody's right on something. There is a right and there is a wrong, okay? There's not multiple ways to God, Bobby. You know that as well as I do. There's only one way to God. If we try to get to him any other way, we're a thief and a robber. And the only way is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Could anybody be that but Jesus? No, absolutely not. What's going to happen after that? What's going to happen after he comes back? After he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives and fulfills the prophecy of the angels saying, why you men of Galilee stand here gazing? Same Jesus that went up is going to come back in like fashion. Meaning he left for the Mount of Olives, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. What's going to happen then, Herbie? 1,000-year millennial reign. That's where we're getting to. That's where we're getting to. What is that? Who is that? Could anybody do that but Jesus? He's got unfinished business. He's going to rule with what? A rod of iron. What's that mean? That's what I really want to discuss tonight, to be honest with you. I want to get your thoughts on. Because it's not talked about as much. Not brought up as much. What are your thoughts about that? Anybody got a thought on it? The middle of rain, what's it going to look like? Come on, don't be shy. Peace and comfort, joy. You don't? Okay. Good point, Judd. Okay. Okay. Those that survive the tribulation period without taking the mark, what you say? I got you. Sure. You're saying they've accepted the Lord during that time period and refused to take the mark and just happened to survive the tribulation period. There will be people to do that. That's a good point. That's right. Who would that be? Who's following him? I'm asking. I'm not trying to. Good thought. Anybody else? Come on. The millennial reign of Christ, which happens after the Battle of Armageddon, after the second coming of Jesus. That's what we're talking about. The rapture takes the Christians out. Then you got the 7-year tribulation period, and then Jesus comes back at the end and sets up a millennial reign, or the millennium, so to speak. Ezekiel spoke very much of the millennial temple, if you will. Right? Okay. Right. Sure. Right. Right. But he just said it. He's ruling with a rod of iron. Says that for a reason. I just want to bring that out. It's like Brother Joe said, says that for a reason. You want to say something, Teresa? Why would they be rebellious? If that's the sin nature of man. I got you. Okay. Okay. Bernard, you've got a thought? Does it? Right. 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 I agree. Sure. I agree with that 100%. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. Right. Right. Sure. I see what you're saying. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Increased. How old was Methuselah? So like that lends credence to what Brother Bernard's saying there. You know, the Bible says the smartest man that ever lived, other than Jesus Christ, that walked this planet was Solomon. Okay, and Solomon basically said, that which is in the beginning will be that which is at the end. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay? What was it like in the first part of the earth? Now look what Bernard's just talking about right there at the tail end of planet earth before the new heaven comes down. The new heaven and the new earth, so to speak. The renovation that's going to happen at the end of the millennium. But that being said, there's going to be something happen there. As Brother Bernard brought up in the book of Isaiah, let me see, I've got it down here. Here we go. Isaiah 65, verse 20 says this: no more shall there be in an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build another inhabit. See, the nation of Israel did that often down through its history. You know, with Gideon, they would plant and then somebody would come and take it. That's what it's kind of saying. It's not going to be like that in those days. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So there's going to be a change that takes place, to allude what Brother Bernard said, at a certain time period on this earth. Now, it's not happened yet. I don't see this happening right now, is what I'm alluding to. Point being is, if a wolf would see a lamb now, what would a wolf do? There we go. Okay, if a lion is hungry, is he going to eat straw like an ox? No, he's going to eat the ox. Is what's going to happen, right? So, in other words, this has to allude. It has not ever been on the planet Earth, other than potentially the Garden of Eden, when they may not, I don't believe they did eat meat, to be honest with you. I don't think there was death on the planet. But other than that time period, the earth has never been like this. Okay, so that tells you there's got to be some kind of change to get to what Bernard's saying right there. And in my opinion, saying that out loud, my opinion, and I think there's biblical base to it, the earth begins to revert back to the way it was, the way God created it. As you mentioned, they're going to be long age again. It's going to come back to man. Why? Because there's going to be a 1,000-year period, to allude what Herbie just said. You're going to have some people in non-glorified body, human bodies, and as Brother Bernard said, glorified saints that's come back with the Lord at Armageddon inhabiting the planet simultaneously. That's what's going to happen. And that, what's that, brother? Possible. I mean, I don't think there's definitely no answer to that, but going back to how I'm just kind of thinking it kind of begins to revert back to those things, I think it's possible. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, let me ask you guys this. I can't remember. It's been a few years ago, but it ain't been real long. I remember AT&T, my cell phone's AT&T, most people around here probably is, but our cell phones went out for a couple days or something. And what it was is there was a, what do you call it, when the sun, solar flare, thank you very much, bro. Solar flare, and it messed a satellite up or whatever of AT&T, and it affected coverages in certain areas in the country, and ours was one of them. And I remember we didn't have phone service for like 2 days or something like that with the AT&T network. That being said, you realize the bad stuff that's going on in the book of Tribulation? How many satellites are going to be up there? Think about it. They're going to be destroyed a lot and often. I think they'll replace them, and then they'll, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, they'll send new ones up and stuff like that. I don't think they, during the tribulation period. But to allude to what you're saying, it wouldn't be hard for me to see technology as we know it, taking a backward step. You know, I don't think that's too far out of the realm of possibility there because of that. Brother Jeff? I don't because we're going to rule and reign with him on the earth. You know what I mean? I can tell you my opinion at the end, but I'm not going to do it yet. I like hearing y'all's because this is good talking. But we have a hard time grabbing this concept. Okay? But the Bible is laying out a time that this planet is going to be like that I've not seen it ever be like. Does that make sense? So that tells me, Bobby, it has to be something in the future. It's still yet. But, to bring back the original point that we talked this, he rules with a rod of iron. That means there's got to be some rebellion, a rebellious spirit, if you will, because we know what happens at the end of the tribulation period. We'll get that here in a minute. Or the end of the millennium, I'm sorry. But, so, where's that coming from? Who is that? Who's the rebellious spirit? Is it Christians? Are those in glorified bodies, are they going to revert back to what Lucifer done? Is that what we're talking about? I'm asking. Who could it be? In 1,000 years, he says. At the end of 1,000 years. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. There will be peace during that 1,000 year. Absolutely. I agree with that. Yes. There's always free will. There's free will in the millennium. I'm sorry. Yeah. You think they're going to... You say? Okay. Okay. Well, Satan's not going to be there during 1,000 years to tempt you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But when we come back at Armageddon, Satan's going to be grabbed and thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years during this period of time, millennial reign. So he's not going to be able to tempt anybody in a glorified body. You know what I mean? And as Brother Bernard just brought up there, you know, we're going to be as the angels, so to speak, as far as either male or female, or if you will, like that. So those former things for us will have passed away at that point. You know what I mean? But as Vicky brought up, there's going to be children that are born, that are still living. There is where I feel a lot of people have a hard time with the millennial reign, is accepting that little fact, that people continue to reproduce, that are of human still left. That's where I think the trouble comes with trying to grab a hold of the millennial reign. See, when I was growing up, I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about Teddy Dean, okay? I was just saying that. I was blessed to grow up around a lot of great, great saints, Vicky. But this topic right here, the church I went to at that time, I don't know if they feel that way. Now I'm just telling you that when I was growing up, okay? A lot of people in that church didn't even believe in the millennial reign. They was like my brother in the Lord that I talked to at first here with you guys. I didn't even believe in the millennial reign. But I remember asking questions as a teenager. I'd pull scripture up, Bernard, and I'd go to them and I'd say, well, what about this scripture? And would eventually get the, bro, you don't need to be reading that. It's just going to confuse you. That was the answer they gave me. And I remember going, okay, brother, I appreciate it, because, you know, I was always taught to respect my elders. My dad would have beat my head off if I didn't. But so I would just, okay, brother, thank you. You know what I mean, like that. But I remember walking away and going, didn't set right. You know what I mean? They couldn't explain it. You know what I mean? And you just, the Bible's not meant to just hang out there on nothing. You know what I mean? It's rightly divided and things of that nature. So This is a part of Scripture that I can say that I probably having no teaching on it at all probably might have been a good thing, Bernard, because I didn't have things, preconceived notions that made me go, well, no, this. Didn't have no tradition, you know, tied to it, so you could kind of begin to dig in and, and things of that nature. But as Herbie just said, there's going to be people that survive the tribulation period that don't take the mark. How do we know that? Because they're sheep and goats. Right there says they're sheep and goats. He's going to separate them. So they're sheep. You know what I mean? You couldn't have took the mark of the beast and be a sheep. You had to be a goat. And there was nations that treated Israel wrong. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But there's another very important scripture. In the book of Zechariah. Matter of fact, it says that the nations, because we just talked about nations, he'll rule the nations. He's going to rule the nations. But it actually says that if the nations do not come up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, specifically, they'll receive no rain. So there is a defined prophecy that says that. Now, Bobby, for me, being a younger Christian, when I started getting into this and, you know, just trying to read as much as I could and try to understand what I could, I was able to go, well, if the threat is there, there's got to be some pushback for it to be there. You see what I'm saying? So there's going to be people that have that fleshly rebellion in them. 1,000 years, boys, I'm telling you right now, a lot of kids can be born in 1,000 years. A lot of population can happen in 1,000 years. We're talking about this country's getting ready to celebrate its 250th. How many people has been born in this country since 1776? You see what I'm saying? Now, ready for this? We've got over 350 million people in this country now. But imagine if everyone that was ever born was still alive. How many more people would be, because they're going to live a long age? Think about that. That's just 250. There's going to be a lot of people, not those that have those glorified bodies. They're going to rule and reign with Christ. Because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. You're not going to rule in the new heaven and the new earth. You're going to rule here on this earth. And I've always said it this way, and I love to use her as an example because she's a good saint of God. Joanne Lafferty, Sister Joanne. Michael, she can't get on the phone and call President Trump. He talked to her. She can't. She can get on her knees and talk to King Jesus. She's been faithful over a few things. Because you were, I trust you to make you ruler over many things. The people that didn't live for me are not going to reign with me. You're not going to rule. You understand what I'm saying? You talk about rewards and things of that nature. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Okay? It's going to be in man. Because if you do not walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's going to reintroduce a way to act on that sin more effectively, so to speak. The tempter is going to come back into it. And now all of a sudden you got somebody going, they can do it. Right. You're seeing Jesus. You're seeing him with your eyes, and yet you're going to rebel. And I know that's a little hard. You'll go, well, brother, that don't even make no sense. Who's going to see Jesus? Literally see him with their eyes and rebel. Well, Adam did it. But Adam did it. Adam walked with him in the cool of the day. Still sin. Abraham was called the friend of God, didn't see him because he walked in faith. Adam walked with God, wasn't called a friend of God. He saw him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. See what I'm saying? But the millennial reign is going to take place. There's going to be a time period, and who can be the one that sets in the temple and administers judgment? Jesus. There's still unfinished business. He's going to look at the Joanne Lafferty's of the world. I believe. And he's going to place her as a magistrate of this region. Vicki Wooten as a magistrate of that region. You will execute my statutes. Bernard, you will execute. And well, I don't know the law. You will that day. I'll write my word in your heart. You will do my will because you're my chosen vessel. You're going to rule and reign with him. That's what it says. That's just the scripture. And those people that are born of the flesh are going to be subjects to the king just like everybody else. Does that make sense? Yes, ma'am, please. I was about to head there. So at the end of the millennium, they're going to see Jesus. They're going to be required to go up to the temple, the millennial temple. And there's going to be worship, and all that's going to be taking place during the millennial reign. That's why those that don't go up, there's a punishment. There's a threat of a punishment if you don't go up. So, yes, they're going to go up, and they're going to know the words of the Lord. They're going to know the statutes, all that. They're going to know all that. And they're still going to choose. There's going to be no excuse. There's going to be no excuse. Human? We're talking about humans, right? Yes, ma'am. Satan will be loosed for 1,000 years. Will be loosed after 1,000 years, and he'll go about to deceive the nations. That's what the book of Revelation says. And he will gather them together, Gog and Magog, and they'll come against the camp of the saints, is what the Bible says, and fire comes down from God out of heaven and devours them. Then you have the white throne judgment and all those things. Okay? So that's really the order of things right there. Oh, I mean, you're raptured out. You're in good shape. As Bernard said, you've got that glorified body. You've got your ticket. You've got your ticket. You're good. If you've got that glorified body, you're in good shape. You are. That's important. You know what I mean? Please. Go ahead. No, I'm fine. Go ahead. Ask it. Go ahead. I do not think there's anything in Scripture that has to happen. Okay? Now, my earthly mind, Eddie Dean's earthly mind, can think because I can see. I'll use this as an example from my childhood, and you're a little older than me, so you can remember an even better, stronger, more unified nation than I can remember. Okay? Values and virtues and stuff and things of that nature. Being stronger when you as a young girl than they are now in our society. You get what I'm saying? So you can see that. You can look back in our lifetimes and tell that. Right, Bernard? We can tell that. That being said, I can tell it's, as the old saying goes, I can tell that it's going to a hell in a handbasket. The world is. You see what I'm saying? That being said, when you look in the last days about deception, because Paul continuously warned about deception, that was one of the biggest things he warned about was deception. Jesus in Matthew 24, first thing he says before he talks about wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence, and, always, and everybody misses it, take heed that no man deceive you. First thing he says. So deception is definitely part of all this. So as my human Teddy Dean says, I think deception will only continue until he comes back into rapture. You know what I mean? As I'm looking humanly, I'm seeing AI and I'm seeing all these different things and I'm going, how could that play into this? I'm just using good old common horse sense here because I know enough scripture, Bernard, to go, I know in the scripture it talks about, he makes an image that both lives and speaks. He makes an image. It says an image. It's not a man. It's an image. So Teddy Dean and his humanism can go, wonder if AI gets to that point. Possible. That's me speaking to you, okay? That being said, from the human standpoint, I see technology continuing to increase so that the Antichrist, when he comes, can utilize it to his full ability. That makes any sense. Now, that's just my humanism. That's just me. But do I think anything scripturally has to happen? Not really, no, because the temple could be built after the rapture. You know what I mean? That the Antichrist is going to desecrate. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe it is a little bit before the rapture. I don't know. But, you know, it could happen in that 3.5 period. You see what I'm saying? That Jesus warned that he's going to come in the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. When you see him standing in the holy place, let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain. So you know there's got to be a holy place again. You know what I'm saying? And I don't see that over in Israel, right? But that could happen in the 3.5 year period. You see what I mean? Could happen after the rapture. So I can't point to that either. Does that make sense to you? So biblically speaking, I don't think there's anything that necessarily has to happen for Jesus to come back at the rapture. That makes sense? But Teddy Dean could go, I see technology continuing to do this, and I could see maybe the Antichrist using that. I could see possibly, because guys, when I say this, my kids know way more than I do about this. But guys, that AI has gotten really big. ChatGPT and AI has taken over, whether you want to know it or believe it or accept it, it's just this. Okay, now let me ask you, what I'm not going to ask you, I'm going to share something with you guys that I heard recently. And when I say I heard this recently, it really made me go, it was a fresh perspective. Perry Stone was speaking to his son. Okay, I've heard him talk about his son. His son used to have a drug problem, and now the Lord's got him on the right path, and he's starting to work in ministry. I don't think he's preaching, but he writes books and stuff like that, and speaks and lectures and stuff like that, following the Lord for a little while now. That being said, Perry and his dad were sitting there talking. And here you got Perry, who always talks about certain things, but his son is very intelligent. First time I'd ever seen him. I've heard him speak of his son, but it's the first time I actually saw him. And I was like, man, he's pretty bright like his daddy, but in a different way. Because he's more versed to technology and world, you get what I'm saying. And he brought this up, and it made me go, ooh, wow. Oh, and he was talking like we are in hypotheticals. He wasn't saying this is the way it's going to be. He was saying, and what he said was this. He said, AI is everything that the computer, you spit in a computer. So what AI does, everything that's on the internet, it pulls it all together, sums up the most logical thought, and spits it out. That's what it does. Okay, that's what it is. But it does it fast, because Daniel said knowledge will increase. You see what I'm saying? So it's doing that. Okay, that's what AI and ChatGPT and stuff is. That being said, he said, so if AI knows who Jesus is, because it's on the internet, he knows that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he done all this, he done all that. The day that a man shows up and does similar things, it's going to say, he's Jesus. And the world will follow that, because they're attached to it. That has become their God. Whether you realize it or not, guys, meaning we're talking about now, you and I think for ourselves. 10, if the Lord tarries, he's coming. 15, 20 years from now, we don't think of ourselves at all. They Google now. AI is going to make Google look like it's caveman. They're not going to think of themselves at all. It's just going to be like, type that in, tell me what it says I need to do. Okay, let's go do it. That'd be a plumber. That'd be an electrician. That's what it's coming to. You understand what I'm saying? And so when that time comes and that thing says, he's healed this, he's healed that, he's preached this, he's done that, he's performed miracles, that's Jesus. Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well said. Well said. Well said. Absolutely. Hard-headed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene recognized him when he said her name. I've always thought that. I've always thought that meant something was special. She didn't recognize him until he spoke. And he said, Mary. Bernard, he knew. She knew. She knew. And she lunged for him. Rabbi. Amen. 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 Yes, amen. Come on, brother. Come on. Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. Yes. Sure. Sure. Bless your heart, brother. Yes, sir. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Amen. I'm gonna remind you guys, share this vision with you guys before. I'm not going to talk about the whole vision. I'm not. I'm going to bring this first part up. Some of you guys will recognize this. You've heard me tell it. If you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll tell you the entire vision, okay? But this is the first part. It's a three-part vision. It happened years ago. It was the last time me and Tara and the kids went to Myrtle Beach. It was in North Myrtle Beach. We were laying... If you ever travel with Teddy, then you know when it's time to go home, we leave early. Whether you want to or not, it doesn't matter. You're riding with me, you're leaving early. You know what I mean? So, in other words, I beat the traffic out, which means Teddy Dean, the last night there, is probably going to try to get in bed at a decent hour because I'm going to get, I don't care if you can sleep in the back seat if you want to, Bernard, but I'm driving, I'm heading out early. We're going back to West Virginia, the train's pulling out. If you want to get there, you better get the car with me. You know what I mean? So, my whole family knows that. That being said, I was laying down in bed. Tara was taking a shower, and I had a vision. It wasn't a dream. I had a vision. I've only had a few in my lifetime. I'm not one of the people that, you know, I'm just telling you, but I know it was a vision. That being said, the first part of the vision was this. I found myself coming near what I thought was a city, Bernard. And what I mean by that, it was dark. Okay? And for years, I thought it was a city at dark. Have you ever seen a time-lapse video of a city at dark with cars going by on a freeway? It looks like pulses of light. Yeah, okay. Okay. It was similar to that. Okay. It was similar to that. But the light was so much brighter than what you see that to be. Okay. The Lord was with me, Vicky, in all three parts of this. Lord, I never saw him, but he was with me. I knew he was with me. Okay. Plain and simple. I knew he was with me. And he was showing me this. And I understand a little bit more when John says, you know what I mean? I understand a little bit more just because this little bit of this vision. And when I thought the question, he gave me the answer. I didn't have to ask. There was no communication like this took place. I would think, and it was revealed. That was how it was in the vision, okay? But in the vision, that's what I'm seeing, okay? And I remember going, Lord, what's this mean? Why am I here? What's this mean? And he said, technology that was created for good will be used for evil. The first part of the vision. That's what I'm sharing you with because it goes along with this today. If you want to hear the last, you can stay till after it's over. I'll tell you the final two parts. Don't care a bit. I've shared it from the pulpit. This happened 2017. The year I bought my house up here. 2017 is when we went to North Myrtle Beach. That being said, for years, I just kind of thought it was like a city. That was the closest explanation I could give you what it looked like. Now, after seeing online pictures of this at night, I recognize it looks more like a data center. It looks more like a data center at night than it did a city. There wasn't no thing like that then, Bernard. So in other words, when John's trying to say this in the book of Revelation, he didn't have nothing to compare it to. It looks like this. And so he can only give you, Michelle, what he knew. That's why it's a little bit hard to understand the book of Revelation. He's trying to explain something he's seen, and he's like, man, I was born in, 15 A.D. I'm seeing something in 2050 or whatever ends up being. I don't know, whenever the Lord comes back, Try to explain an Apache helicopter if he's born in 15 A.D. Try to explain a stealth bomber. You can't. Try to explain a microwave if he was born in 15 A.D. You can't. You see what I'm saying? But that being said, that which was intended for good will be used for evil. And so, I'll never forget that. Okay? And as I look upon this stuff, as Brother Pat alluded to, it's always created for good, but the devil will always take it and use it any way he can, twist it for evil. And that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think man and what the devil does will make it a bad thing. That's what I think. Anybody else got any questions? I'm curious to see how many people stay. Anybody else got any questions? Okay. I know it's time to go. I appreciate you guys coming. I know Dave's going to wind it down. We've been online. He's put on the...